her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain.
What actually is the name of this show? This is Homer. I'm filling in for everybody but Chewy.
Jen, Gabe,
Jen,
and
Gabe,
Chewy.
And Chewy.
Yeah,
that's it, so it's G J G C, or that's yeah. not it. Just
sure. What are you now? The Homer Hour?
Yes, correct.
You like it?
No, I wanted to be the world's shortest sports talk show, and they said they can't do that. So yeah. The Homer Hour's
fine. Hour's got to be tough.
The guests and the people that are on are fabulous.
Yeah.
So that makes it really easy. All right, now we get to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm filling in for everybody but Chewy. Except Josh is here. We now have the, what is it, the 7 or the 11 at 8, the 7 at, what is it? What is it?
Well,
used
to, what is it now? What 8 at 8? No.
Well, we do the top 8 at 8. That's right. Not today. That's on
yes,
Thursday.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Today we're doing the home revision of
elders.
The top 8 at 8.
Talk about me losing it. Jeez.
What do you mean not losing it?
You're
I know
fine.
Exactly
you're fine.
What
I'm respecting my elders.
I know what I'm doing. All right. We have the top 8 at 8, and that will be Josh and Chewy together coming up with the top 8 comments about the new Brett Favre show that debuted last night on Netflix. And everybody knows that, so if I didn't see it last night, so what? Right? Is it the first show of many, or I don't know what the setup
is. I think it was just one. Right?
It was a single yeah. documentary-ish style episode.
Okay, and it was how long?
Hour and a half. Was
all right.
It?
Did you watch the whole hour and a half?
I did not make the entirety
how
of it.
How long did you watch, sir?
Over an hour.
Okay. And Chewy?
Yeah, I watched it.
The whole thing. All right. Now, because you played with him, you get to go first. And we are now taking the top 8 comments, 4 of you by each.
Okay.
You can't use exactly what was said in a previous comment, though you could vary a little bit. It'd be okay. All right. Comment number 1.
Regurge.
Well, can you elaborate?
Well, it's do just a regurge.
Well, hold on. All right, then let me. I got to be the reporter. What you are saying is there was nothing in there that you didn't already know.
Correct?
That's what regurge means, right, Josh?
I mean, they elaborated on some things.
All right. I will help your top 8 at 8.
Okay.
All right. Chewy's top 8 at 8, number 1, will be anything or the most interesting note that of something you didn't know or you learned more about it. What's the number one thing that you learned that was new or addition to what you already knew?
The Jen Sturger.
Okay.
Which she took up, Josh, would you say a third of the program was about?
I don't know if a third is quite
so
right.
What I know
at least
that,
a quarter.
I am assuming. I'm accurate saying that they acted like in the past that he had some sort of an affair with her. Is that accurate based on the show?
They never met.
They never met. Josh
never met.
Yeah. It was all
the pictures,
text and through text pictures, message. And yes. There's another form there. Like,
well, that's.
It wasn't email.
That's kind of a weird.
Instant
so they
messenger?
Instant messenger.
That I would say it would be huge.
Yeah.
They never met. And that was
never
made clear. Never met. All right. Josh?
I thought there was odd casting decisions. The documentary opened with Michael Vick, then went to Jemele Hill. And then some of the local people that were used, one of them a radio host in the area, and another Press Gazette writer who I believe hasn't written about the Packers in like many, many years and didn't really write during the Favre era.
Do you remember the name?
I do not remember his name offhand. I can
not
find
Doherty,
it here quickly.
Pete Doherty.
No, it was not.
Okay, the famous, most famous ones from the Press Gazette were originally Cliff Crystal,
and
then Bob McGinn.
Who's
and
the guy that wrote Favre's book? Chris Havell.
Chris Havell, yes.
Yeah.
His stay was short.
Dylan Tomlinson was the person used, which okay. with the and now I understand.
Let me back up just to ask for people. Michael Vick?
Yeah.
What?
I don't
because
know.
Because of the connect because of taking money from poor people or how was what did Michael Vick talk about?
He just sort of talked about being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was a weird...
But were they trying to tie in the fact that... Did he go to jail because of the dog fighting thing?
Yes.
Did he go to jail or was he just...
I think he did.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. Because he wasn't... Yeah, he was not literally in the NFL and that time wasn't spent just at home as far as I'm aware. But it seemed to be they were trying to lead in with like a troubled NFL quarterback who like... Life got too big for him, but they didn't really delve into that. He was just kind of there, which I thought was an odd strategic move with so many people that have Brett Favre information, stories, worked with him personally. Those two people who really have no intimate Favre knowledge, to me, was an odd way to open it up.
I guess the top eight questions that I have for both of you who watched it. I've changed the top eight today.
Okay.
Overall grade that you would give, and you're both perfect to ask because the people that are listening now, watching, they know Brett Favre. It's not, there's no, they're in the same probable situation that both of you were in terms of knowing a lot about him. So, what grade would you give it, Josh?
For the people that are listening, it's a C minus to D.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Very little new information.
That bad.
Yeah, very little new information. Not all that much intrigue. If you really are a Wisconsinite, you didn't really learn much besides getting to know Jen Sturger more personally, which I don't think was serving the story of what I went in believing. I thought it was going to be a lot more.
If the two of them never met, then the negativity toward Favre about what he did or didn't do with Sturger seems to me much less significant if the two never met.
It was weird.
I mean,
it was
he sent some
inappropriate pictures.
Sure, yeah.
Well, but, I mean, that's... I don't know how to set a ranking of.
But it was like she should have had her own show,
yes.
or something like that. Like, what are we doing here?
I think what they were trying to do were starting. They were trying to start the story of Favre's downfall, which led to the scandal with the misappropriation of funds, and they tried to use that as when things started going downhill for Brett, which. I don't think I don't want to put Chewy on the spot here, but I think there were many signs prior to Jen Sturger and leaving the Packers.
Well, the first one should have been the drugs.
Yes.
I mean, and he admitted
Didn't even mention it.
Didn't even mention it.
Well, it's like that problem doesn't...
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing in Favre's career...
In terms of
a negativity...
Yeah.
...would have been, aside from all the interceptions... would have been the drugs, right? Am I missing something?
There are a lot of people talking that know nothing.
Yes.
What?
Knew nothing.
About how bad it was?
No, about anything. They were just...
Oh, you mean in the documentary? Yeah.
They're just talking about rumors and things like that. And I'm like,
a good documentary about Brett Favre's screw-ups or difficulties should have started... I mean, you played with him. Should have started with... the drugs, right?
You would think
the drugs and alcohol would have been, would have been the point. And they sort of alluded to it. They showed him at various times having a good time, but
Josh, my point to that is, go down to Water Street tonight on Friday. I'm pretty sure there's 25-year-olds doing the exact same thing that he's doing.
Yes.
It was a hatchet job. That's all it was.
Well, but if it's a C minus or a D, it's a bad hatchet job.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think, not that I want to do it, if I wanted to do a hatchet job on Brett Favre, I don't think it'd be that hard.
Yeah. I think
his life has had enough hatchets that it's really not that hard to do.
Then I'm not defending the guy when it comes to the welfare thing. You know, I'm just not.
I do. I do defend him.
Well, how do you defend?
Because of what I saw, at some point somebody said, the governor said it's okay. If the governor says it's okay, I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm doing.
Yeah, the whole, will the media find out with this? Can we hide it from him? That part makes you...
Well, it makes you think that Brett Favre's smart because that's something to ask. But whatever they said, if someone says to me, the governor says it's okay, what more do I need?
That's fair. I thought... they did.
Doesn't mean he isn't responsible. Doesn't mean he didn't screw up.
I just think there was a way to rectify it that would have been fine. And I told him that.
Oh, to pay off. Yeah. Yes.
Just pay the money back.
Yes.
Do some. Not everyone's going to bring you back, but, you know, and it's fine. You know, he was insane about his daughter. Rightfully so. A lot of parents are. I am, you know, but he took it too far. And it's okay to say, I just lost it. I lost it.
I'm sorry. I tried to do too much.
I just tried to do too much.
Yeah, I agree. People would have.
And then it would have been. Then it would have been okay. And I'll take that stance today.
You actually said that. You said that to him.
We all screw up, Homer.
No, but I mean, you said to
Brett Favre. I did. Because he was on our show. I didn't want him to leave the show. I thought he was great. You know, and people loved it.
That ended it. That was the last.
Yeah.
So why didn't he?
Because he still has his per diem from the Minnesota game in 1992.
Okay, I got to ask you as a follow-up.
And you can appreciate that because you're tighter than two coats of paint, too.
No, he's not that stupid. This is different, right? I mean, Brett Favre is smart. So you're disappointed.
He's smart and stupid.
Okay, but in this situation, you would have thought, which is why I believe you brought it up, that he would have been smart enough. You knew he was cheap, right?
Yes.
So you knew he's cheap, and yet you still suggested that because deep down you thought, Brett's smart enough if enough people tell him, do it. Come on, Brett. This is different. You got to do this, right?
Yeah.
You thought it was that simple, that he would.
And I think it was.
And he still didn't do it.
No.
The one thing the documentary did do a good job of is sort of expounding on the fact that that level of fame and cult following leads to a level of thinking you're untouchable and you're like beyond reproach, which sort of tells the story of what Chewie's saying of you don't think you really did even anything wrong, even when it's thrown in your face.
Do you think that fits? Do you think what Josh just said fits for Brett Favre?
You can do both. You can still think you're not wrong, right?
The premise is, that this, as Josh just stated, makes people do things that don't make sense because they're caught up
with the
cult of personality, the beyond reproach that you don't do wrong. And I think that
my answer to as a follow up to that would be, Chewie doesn't have to answer this because I'm going to believe it either way. There's no way to know how many things Brett Favre did and got away with.
Yes.
Part of that to me is I've always thought it's because he was smart. But his whole life had been filled with questionable behaviors that he never got caught because he was pretty smart and avoided the horrifically stupid decision either when he was drinking too much. I don't know who covered up or helped him so this. Up until this situation, I don't care how famous. I mean, I can't buy that because I don't care how famous you are. You can't be so
I
stupid
think it's
you
more,
don't see
I think
in this situation.
I think it's more being held accountable.
Okay.
Because you're not going to tell me. You ain't going to tell me.
What?
That people in that building didn't know that he had a problem with Vicodin. You're not going to tell me that.
Okay.
You are not going to tell me that.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
No one said, I'll put myself in that list because I knew, you know.
Okay, how many problems had Brett Favre shown you to that point where he had somehow been able to handle the problems and still perform at a high level?
Other than the Vicodin?
Yeah, before that.
No.
Nothing was in that league. Okay.
No. We were 25-year-old flipping kids.
Again,
you know,
yes,
go down 25. Water Street on Saturday night and see how many idiots you see down there.
There's a range,
and don't hold him to a different standard he plays in the NFL.
There's a range of behaviors, even among that group. And the belief on the outside was that the person who took that to the fullest was Brett Favre. The average person down Water Street goes from 1 to 5. The belief was with Brett Favre, because that's kind of how he was, is that he went to a 10. And that you would have assumed in his life, given doing 10s all the time, something bad's going to happen because you're just pushing it a little too far.
Well, it definitely
Chewy might have gone to five. Frank Winters might have gone to four.
It our relationship kind of changed after the Super Bowl, you know. And he knows.
No, you know. None of us know.
I'm saying from the same. It was
whatever you tell us is going to be new to us.
It was
Josh that lets you know.
It was the three of
you. Did you know that their relationship changed after the Super Bowl?
Only because he said so much to us before.
Oh, okay.
No, it changed from the standpoint of where it was the three amigos.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of the two amigos and then one amigo with Hollywood and athletes and things like that.
After the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl. And then I left. And then his dad passed. You knew his dad.
I did.
His dad kept them in check.
His dad had a bigger problem than he did.
Yeah, I know.
His dad started drinking at 6 a.m. and by 9 a.m. he was gone on almost a daily basis, correct?
I don't know that.
Okay, but I'm not exaggerating it and you wouldn't be surprised.
His dad was. It's different down there in Mississippi.
No,
I'll just say that.
There were many things good about him.
Sure.
No one argued the point that. Whenever you met his dad, you assumed one thing when you met his dad.
But there was a line homer in, and I wasn't on the team then. There was a line when Mike Sherman, remember they addressed it in the show, was like screaming, yelling, because Brett threw a stupid pick and Sherman didn't want it going there. And just yelling and screaming at him. And Brett said, what are you going to do?
Yeah. That was a story recounted by Bill Michaels of him losing his mind, and then when Brett was asked about it, he responded simply to his coach, what are you going to do about it?
So there's the accountability.
Right.
Right?
But he wasn't always that way. He'd gotten that way at that point in his career.
He was, in the career.
Do you think he ever said that to Mike
Holmgren?
He took
liberties.
Did he ever say that to Mike Holmgren?
He knew he wasn't supposed to dip on the sideline.
Did he ever say to Mike Holmgren, what are you going to do? Not a chance
no
in the world.
No way in.
That's correct.
No way.
So that was
and
part.
Then he got Chili fired in Minnesota. I've told that story. Yeah. So it's just.
Which he denies vehemently.
Oh.
Who does?
Brett.
Okay.
Do you believe
just
Chewy
accountability.
Or Brett?
Accountability.
Chewy.
You know?
Well, no,
like the Jets thing. Like, what in God's green earth were you thinking? What were you thinking?
Well, what are you thinking? You just told us how it evolved, the way he was, and then the way he was after they won the Super Bowl. So as a follow-up to that, I'll believe anything based on what you just said. He changed, right?
Yes, he changed. And I think he would admit that he changed. I think he would.
No.
You don't think so?
Josh, you think Favre would
no.
admit?
No. He doesn't seem to be self-reflective in that manner.
Yeah.
He might regret certain things he did, but not as.
But I would bet he regrets getting caught more than he does.
Yes,
the action.
Exactly. Yes. And he didn't get caught so many times that he probably figured he wouldn't get caught. And I think that was based on his life, not just being a superstar.
Yeah. The overarching theme, and Chewy, you can agree or disagree on this, it seems to be that through his life and his success, he had got to a point where he believed he was beyond repercussion. He was beyond any sort of punishment.
Yes.
And they tried to spin that basically as how he ended up at the point. I also think there's people who kind of misunderstand the misappropriation of the welfare funds. Like, I think they thought that was going directly into his pocket, which wasn't how that was happening. Not that it makes it less worse that he's stealing from, you know, people stricken with poverty, but it was trying to tell the story of him trying to get things of around his daughter, which he really believed in and wanted to happen at
the
university.
Well, I can tell you how it happened. This is how it happened, okay? Because the guy, me and Free went down there with him to film a commercial 10 years ago. This is before the welfare thing, right? So
Free would be Antonio Freeman.
Yeah. All right. So Farm Bureau was paying me and Free. And then Brett was getting paid. They were paying for Farm Bureau to construct a volleyball center at his high school, which they built for a couple million dollars. That was his deal with them. So not out of pocket. So I think he took that and then rolled it over into the Southern Miss thing and then didn't want to come out with it out of his pocket again, have someone else pay for it, and then it goes from there. I think that's what happened.
Okay.
But I don't know in his brain if... You tell me.
Yeah, you do.
I think just having the governor say, yeah, sure, go ahead, is it a blanket?
You know Brett Favre. There's nothing...
Did you like my idea, though, of what I said? Is like,
of course,
pay the stuff back. He got more money than God.
Yes,
but
I don't. I can't comprehend how someone wouldn't tell him how bad this made him look.
Yeah,
and how much money does he have to where?
I think because consequences were never real.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yes, yeah. He always got away with stuff.
Right, consequences were never real. So even if you know this would probably be better for me, what does it matter? Nothing's ever really happened to me before.
Right. And you have to have somebody that says, no, Brett, this is different.
Yeah, this is the government's involved now.
All right. So both of you said C minus or D, so there's really no need for people to watch it. They can if they want. And then my last question before we break is, did you feel worse about Brett Favre? Did you feel that Brett Favre was even more evil than you had thought before watching it or not?
No, I understand him.
Okay.
I understand him.
Josh is more like the average person.
I'm the same.
All right.
I don't think I felt better or worse about the person or the circumstances. Because to me, it was that unrevealing in terms of learning new stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to use that word for both of you.
Yeah.
What was it? Unrevealing. Correct?
That probably nails it. Unrevealing.
All right. To Kay Adams next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with only Chewy. I'm the assistant Homer.
You're the
along
legend.
With Josh. I don't know what Josh's title is.
The man?
No, producer? It should really be Jen, Gabe, Chewy, and Josh.
I agree.
So, I mean, he's a part of the show.
J squared?
No.
You got Jen and Josh.
Jen, Gabe, Chewy, and Josh. Josh has to be last.
Why?
Well, he's the producer. The producer is different than being one of the hosts of the show. But he's elevated himself to be a part of the title of the show.
You know
who he's like is Lebatard and Stugatz. So at one point, it was just Lebatard.
Mm-hmm.
And Stugatz was just the producer. And then he elevated to where it's, what is it, Lebatard and Stugatz?
Yes, it's the Dan Lebatard show featuring Stugatz, I believe.
Yes, so that's meaning that he's not a host of the show, but you get in the headlines of the show. Like, it's the Homer Hour. It's not the Homer Hour with Pebble. Pebble, and not in the title. But that's nothing against Pebble. That's me. All right, now we get to, what do we have from Kay Adams? We need to get to this because we have to pass along any information about the Packers. She has become... like huge, right?
Yes, she seems to be getting all the big stars.
So, and that she's not on ESPN. She's not on. Was she on the NFL Network? Where did she start before she's now on FanDuel? Right?
She was on Good Morning Football, I believe.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And then she started her own venture, Up and Adams, which through FanDuel Network, I believe, is right. How it is. Yes.
But I mean, it's done really well.
Extremely well.
She gets. Yes. Just about everybody, right?
Yeah, she, and this is a great respect to both the people, she's elevated herself to on a online or close to a Pat McAfee.
Really?
In terms of guests got and the amount of engagement she gets on social media, she's elevated to that level.
Yeah, and did it all on her own.
Correct.
I mean, Pat McAfee benefited from the power of ESPN.
Yes.
And she's benefiting from the money of FanDuel, but that didn't in any way... mean that she'd have an audience. People like her, like what she does. And yeah. So yeah, she gets, and then on my, I mean, I still get cable. So she's like on three channels, like FanDuel 1, 2, and 3. Well, they all have her show.
You watch it?
What? I've watched some of it. Yeah, it depends on McAfee who she has. Too? I'm not a big McAfee fan.
Okay.
But I mean, I have more respect for him than anybody who's probably ever been in the business because he was a punter.
Yeah.
Okay. The number of punters that anybody actually listened to every year that I covered the Packers was, you know what that answer was? Zero. Unless they got it blocked.
Yeah.
They got a punt blocked. I mean, like, I remember one time somebody's going, "Where's over there?" They're talking to the punter. Why? Why would you talk to the punter? Unless, if it had been Vince Lombardi's grandson, maybe. But anyway, he's a punter, and look what he's done.
Yeah.
People listen. He's the only punter in the history of the NFL that people listen to. So other than Brad Nortman's doing pretty well as a punter, but I don't think he's at McAfee's level.
I have two pieces of audio here. It's Matt LaFleur joining Up and Adams. We'll do dealer's choice. The discussion about he's open to adding a pass rusher or the tush-push ban, which will be voted on at 9 a.m., like Adam Schefter told us.
What do you want to hear?
I think we go with a pass rusher.
Okay.
Because it'll draw more attention from you. You'll be bitter about it.
You drafted some pass rushers, but I got to ask, are you open to adding potentially another one if they became available?
Okay, if it's up to me, we're never turning down great players. So, I'll be up there and talking to Goody and Russ and do whatever you got to do to bring as many good players in as possible. Because I know one thing, great players make great coaches. So if you have some great players, you're going to be a better coach because of it.
Yeah, sack leaders are great players. That's all I heard there.
I don't know. I'm just not big on coach speak. They all do it too, you know?
All right. You're now your coach, Chewy, and Kay asks you the question.
Well, do you want me to do it in coach speak or do you want me to do it in my own
speech? I want to do it Chewy speak.
Okay.
We need more coach speak.
He doesn't. He has no control over the roster. They're not getting another DN. They're not trading for Trey Hendrickson. They're going into the season with what they have.
All right, Coach Chewy. Right? Don't look at me. You're Coach Chewy. You got to look at me. I'm just Homer.
Who else is out there?
I don't
They're know. Not going to trade for Max Crosby.
I agree with you. They're not going to change. So the issue is assess what you have, and he's not going to say, well, this guy's not any good.
I know they can't speak
good?
Honestly.
Well, you can. You're Coach Chewy.
I know, but I mean, would you rather have the guy say, you know, we kind of missed the boat, you know? There's no one out there. We're not going to trade from anyone. We're going into camp with what we have instead of, I'm going to go talk to Goody and Russ and see what we can dream up.
I'm glad they don't, because if they did, there would be no need for us. We exist only because they can't say.
Because we have to speak for them?
No, we have to speak the truth or closer to the truth than they, as you've just said, they don't.
I don't
agree.
Ron
question.
Always spoke the truth. Ron was never a BSer.
Correct.
It just give the people what they want to hear, because he didn't care.
Well, I mean, but you follow a lot of people other than Ron Wolf, and you would say even to this day, many, many years later, nobody else is like Wolf, right?
No one's like Wolf, and no one's probably like Holmgren.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to get – now we can talk because we have Coach Chewy. We don't need LaFleur. We'll get to Kay Adams and the Tush Push, but we already heard from two-time Emmy Award-winning Adam Schefter, who said it best, that the commissioner wants it, and the commissioner usually gets what he wants. So I'm expecting it to happen. Would you guys agree based on what?
Yes.
And I don't know how many Emmys Kay Adams has, but all right, let's go ahead and play what she says about Tush Push.
And you do have those Eagles. Let's just get it over with here. Week 10 on that schedule. I mean, half the league wants to get rid of this Tush Push thing. I think most people are tired of hearing about it. You know, but you are the public face of it, not you, but the organization. Mark Murphy eloquently was talking to me about it, saying, you know, it's just not a great football play. You know, the vote's happening tomorrow. Is there any reason to think it'll change this time around?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm obviously not a part of the voting process, so it doesn't really matter what I think. I'm kind of with you. It's like, make a decision and we'll go and adjust.
Coach Chewy, would you translate? Because you can say whatever you want.
I mean, he answered that much better. He has no idea. He has no say. My guess is he doesn't like it. I don't know why they changed the rule. I don't ever remember.
I have it here.
I know, but Homer, do you ever remember that being a point of contention where it's like, oh, we need to assist runners here? Like, I don't even I don't know why they changed it. The rule was fine, and you shouldn't be able to assist the player.
As I kept this. For decades, NFL rules prohibited offensive players from directly aiding a runner in any way, whether it was pushing or pulling him. But in 2005, 6 months before the Bush push, the league clarified its stance. There would be no pulling of ball carriers by teammates, but pushing was too difficult to legislate. What the league found was so difficult was you never were sure who was pushing who, said Mike Pereira. So you're not necessarily pushing the runner. You could be pushing someone else that's in contact with the runner. So it became really too difficult to officiate. Therefore, we just said, okay, it's legal.
You know why that is? You know why that is? Because players don't tackle anymore. They don't bring players to the ground. That's the problem. When you get these scrums, and I get it from an official standpoint, it's like you have a big mass. Where's the runner? Everyone's standing up, and there's 15 people. It's more like a rugby thing. It's because players don't tackle. They don't tackle.
Now,
would you agree?
No, I think this is your bitter old man again. I think they.
You want to say players? I guarantee if you did a study.
They've become smarter at how to stop people. You don't necessarily have to tackle them. You can push them. You can do different things. So
I don't.
Also, part of that is the result. If there is a difference, they wear uniforms that don't have pads anymore, in order to be faster, and therefore you probably don't want to tackle. The speed of the game is such that.
Well, we never wore them anyways. I wore a helmet, shoulder pads, and thigh pads. That's it.
That's it?
It's all you wore.
Do they wear less now, or the pads they wear are smaller? Shoulder pads they wear now have to be smaller.
They're smaller. Everything's probably lighter, but I believe now they have to wear thigh pads.
How light do you think those might be?
Ours were light. Ours weren't.
They're even lighter now. Josh, you want to join my club on that?
Yeah. Right. The one thing I want to add to that before we move on here to break is, for all of us who believed that this was a thing Mark Murphy was doing on behalf of the league, I think Matt LaFleur kind of confirmed that.
That's what I always believed.
Yeah.
No, Murphy, he's always been the front guy for anything the league wanted, and I would say that speaks to his smartness.
Yes.
Like,
how you get a draft.
If they ask you to do this, do it, because you're going to get some benefit from helping out the commish. And I don't know that he knew what it was, but I think he generally thought,
Why, you think he's looking for a job?
No, I think if you have any business, if Craig Carverson comes to me and says, I'd like you to do this, this, and this, initially I'm going, sure. One, you're the boss. I'm not going to argue with you. And two, there very easily could be some benefits.
Yeah.
And I would say that they got the draft because of Murphy's willingness.
Yeah.
For a long time, to be an aide to whatever the commissioner wanted.
Do you want it banned?
Yeah. I want it banned. I don't get it. I don't think there's any point to it. I don't agree with Pierre, whatever his name was. I forgot. What's his name? Mike, the official who now works in the booth.
Pereira.
I think he's wrong. I think you'd say, figure it out. You shouldn't push a running back.
Running backs
on their own.
I agree.
Because otherwise... I mean, it never ends. I have a running back and five people behind him, and I give credit for teams looking at the rules and saying, hey, this benefits us, and it was wisely, I'd say it, with a quarterback who's really big and physical.
And I think that's it. I think the only reason Philadelphia has perfected is because of Hurts. He squats the world.
And I believe their offensive line is the biggest by far.
Yeah.
Their guys, it used to be 305 in Bulaga, said now they're getting up to 350.
Are they?
Yes, which is my biggest complaint about offensive lines. We get to the old offensive lines, you had to keep your arms in. And so you needed to run. Offensive line, and once they change the rules where you just push, then you have sumo wrestlers out there. That's all they are. They're just sumo wrestlers that push. But all right, next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy Celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener on June 27th at the garage of the Harley-Davidson Museum and make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.org. I've said before, Dwayne Wade is now determined to become one of the great humanitarians on the planet. So Travis Diener is a great guy too, but I think Dwayne Wade is going off the charts to try to help as many people as he can the rest of his life. And I have no source but me. All right, we got more to say. Chewy's got more left. We're just getting warmed up. Oh, wait, we're a little late. The final quarter with Chewy, Coach Chewy, next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
It is the Chewy Show with assistants Homer and Josh. I like that. Give it our own name.
Got a lot of names.
We are replacing Jen, Gabe, Chewy, and Josh. That show is not on today because some parts of the show are on assignment. Well, we know Jen, I'm assuming. I don't know where the Emmy Award meeting, where was the ceremony?
I have no idea.
Because she
Connecticut?
She won like three Emmys.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter, you'll notice this in his future intro on Wednesdays, 2-time Emmy Award winner. Unfortunately, it's too bad his daughter didn't win one. That would be awesome. Adam Schefter joins us now, father of the famous, whatever her name is, 12-year-old.
Dylan, I believe, is her name.
Dylan, who won an Emmy. How great would that be?
At 10th grade? Did he say 10th grade?
I don't remember.
She's not 10 years old, is she?
No, she's 10th. I think 10th grade, making her 16, is what he said.
Right.
Wow.
Tell you how well
that's
I listened.
That's impressive.
Listen. I was just amazed that with Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
That'd be great. He won't be known as Adam Schefter. He'll be known as the father of. It's a great feeling. All right. What do you want to leave us with? Again, the documentary with Brett Favre, voted on by Josh and Chewy, C minus or D. And my analysis would be a waste of time.
So you're not going to watch it?
At some point, I'll turn it on and watch part of it. But you've both convinced me.
I viewed it as a priority to watch it, and I put it even in my calendar to watch it. And then as I watched it, I realized this probably wasn't worth first day viewing. It wasn't must-see or debut-worthy documentary.
You will learn nothing.
No, there's
and
nothing
in fact,
there.
If you learn something, that will tell us not about the story, but that about how little you knew of things that have all existed for many years. And I learned one thing, which is just unbelievable. Jen Sturger and Brett Favre never met.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole point of doing what Brett Favre did, not being an expert in that field, would be to meet her, right? Would you do any of what he did? I don't know what the illness is or whatever would make. Like, is it fair for me to assume that if you did what Brett Favre supposedly did, that you would at some point in time want to meet her? Be in her physical presence?
I think that was his efforts were in pursuit of meeting
and
her.
And she prevented it.
Yes.
Oh, well. Don't we have to give her some credit for that?
I wonder where he's moving to. You know, his house is for sale.
For those of you don't know, his house is for sale, but for an amazing amount, like $11
million. I think it's 14.
14. I would think it's going to take him a while to sell that house in Hattiesburg.
To get what, half?
I don't, I'm not, I have no expert. I'll defer to either of you on how do you sell a $14 million home.
I have no idea.
Josh, would you like to help Brett Favre on that?
Someone's got to be making a lot of NIL at Southern Miss.
I don't, upon what? Why would you want? I mean, you've been there. It's really nice.
It's
right?
Beautiful.
Do they have a pool as big as Lake Michigan?
Yeah, they
or
got
what?
A lot of things. You got a pond, a pool. A pond would be good for
but
you.
There's a huge, it's tons
It's 400
of
acres.
Right.
Yeah. He asked me when he bought it, it's like, if I wanted 3 acres of it, I'm like, no, I'm
Could
good.
Could you turn it into a golf course?
No, it's swamp. A lot of it is swamp.
Fine.
Well, I mean, I suppose you could, and then make his house the clubhouse.
Yes, I don't know how much. How much land do you need for a golf course?
Once again, how big is Hattiesburg? I don't think there's a lot of people going to be able to afford a $50,000 downstroke to join the club.
Well,
The average annual salary in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, is around $43,000 a year.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the
That's a good idea, though. On your
the university is there, so there are people working at the university doing better than that.
You would have to hope there's somebody who has the same affinity for the university, and would want to be near it.
Yeah, 10% down, 1.4. See, payments would probably be close to $100,000 a month.
I have no ability to. That just has way too many commas in there for me. I
start losing track.
I don't know. I have no idea. To the answer is, who has ever been to Hattiesburg in their life? Has there been a person capable and or interested in that cost of a house?
When you get to the stratosphere of $14 million, is it still just 10% or do you have to pony up more? I don't understand how that works.
A great question.
Yeah. One that we can't answer. We're not qualified.
The first ever Chewy, Homer, and Josh show filling in for Jen, Gabe, Chewy, and Josh.
You're the best, Homer. You gonna take a nap today? I'm taking one.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not good.
Okay.
It was a pleasure. What you learned the documentary, you'll learn nothing and could easily be termed a waste of time in terms of additional information. Chewy, we didn't even discuss to me the biggest issue with the Packers, and that is whether Van Ness can be better.
Well, you can come back anytime you want.
No,
there,
I don't. There's nothing anybody said to make them think that he will get better because there's no skills that he's shown that makes you think he can, but they need him to.
Can't get worse.
I wish you were still playing.
I don't.
No, because I claim, how quickly do you know how good a player is or isn't? How many times you got to see him play on the practice
field? Antoine Edwards, it took me one play.
There you go. But others. To be good.
Your
the
guy.
Best.
Your
no,
guy.
No, the
Your
best.
Your guy.
My guy, T-Buck. Fine. The head coach of Mississippi Valley State. I'm going to a game in Huntsville, Alabama. You want to go with me?
What time's the game? 11 in the morning?
I think it's 3. I'm not sure.
I could make that.
We're going to play some golf at Robert Trent Jones and then go see the game. A pleasure. Next.